Mr. President.
Yeah.
I have Dr. Kissinger returning your call.
All right.
Go ahead, please.
Mr. President.
How are you getting along in your briefings?
Well, I've had an hour with
Abrams.
And he's fully aboard, enthusiastically aboard.
That's very important.
And he's coming in. He's leaving tomorrow night. He thinks he needs a day to work with Bunker. And he's full of ideas of how we can do this technically.
Yeah.
And, you know, how to shift over the air control and so
forth. Yeah. Let me ask a couple of questions.
And we... I was really very heartened by him. I read him all the provisions on the military side.
Right. What about the government? What about the political side?
I haven't told him any of that, but that's no good. I'm using that always as a club by telling them what their old proposals were.
Yeah, I see.
He'll go along with the political side, there's no question.
Mm-hmm.
The political side is a smashing victory. I mean, there will be no one who will question the political side.
Yeah, the only problem I see there is, from our standpoint, is, which I want to be sure we're adequately warned on, is the use of the word coalition in any form, shape, whatever.
It's not meant.
Oh, I know it isn't in that, but I meant in terms of what the press says, what the puppet, what is said by either side, and so forth. The point being, I don't mean what the other side says, but we'll say the point being that once that is said, then the indication will be by our critics that, well, that we could have gotten this 4 years ago. You see, the coalition business. That's why the coalition thing has got to be in your own briefing. If we come to a briefing, it's got to be very, very tough. This is not a coalition government under any circumstances.
Nothing changes anyway. Right. The only thing that happens immediately on the political side is a negotiation between two and the others.
I understand that. I understand that there's a Council of National Concord,
but
that they are going to
come into being until two has negotiated it with the other side.
Right. And basically, that is not a government either. But the point is, right?
Right. Oh, right.
Yeah. But the point that I make is that, as you can see, that is the point that it has to be very carefully. We've got to be straight arming on that issue so that we don't run into any problem there.
Right.
Right.
But that, I am confident that the political side is an excellent thing. I mean, in fact, there is nobody in this country who could imagine that we could get this political settlement.
Yeah. Well, that's my feeling.
I mean, it's the thinnest space saver.
With regard to the questions you raised earlier with Bob, let me just run over it briefly because I had a few thoughts on that last night. First, to keep it all in perspective, we should understand that the major consideration should be the making of a settlement.
Right.
The making of a settlement is not going to hurt us in the election, and it isn't going to help us significantly. Who can tell? But the main point is, what could hurt really is to go down the road and then fail.
Right.
That is why I think even before going to Saigon, I think we have to be fairly sure that not fairly sure, but at least have a pretty good chance of making it go. If you go to Saigon and it doesn't go, of course, then I mean, you can't really consider going to Hanoi, because if you do, that escalates it to a point where we just couldn't stand it. But if you could go to, and I don't know, but what you think Abrams can do a little softening up before you get there? That's the point.
No, but he and Bunker can start analyzing. You see, after we get Hugh's agreement, there'll have to be a hell of a lot of work done. We could then focus you not on how he's going to stonewall the agreement, but how is he going to shift certain categories of things, who is going to take them over, and so forth.
Right, right, right. What does Bunker think? What's his view about whether, well, he doesn't know what the political thing is, but what is his view about Q's reaction to this?
I haven't check tests done with him yet, but we have
had... At least you have Bunker's reaction. I don't mean Bunker's. I don't mean that. I meant Abrams's view.
Well, Abrams says it's hard to predict.
Yeah.
He thinks that you ought to accept it, that this is a great opportunity for him.
Right.
He's enthusiastic.
Right. Right.
And on the political side, we're in, I assure you, Mr. President, there's no sophisticate who will not see that this is the thinnest form of face saver for the other.
Right, right.
Few states, there's no coalition government, the negotiations start, then they form a sort of a half-assed committee.
I know.
If it ever comes into being.
Right. Right.
But, so, we've had another little message from the North Vietnam.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Last night, screaming about the five changes I'm giving.
Yeah.
But if the thing could fall apart on Tuesday.
Yeah.
In that case, of course, I come back from Paris.
Right.
The thing could fall apart in Saigon. In that case, I come back from Saigon. I agree completely that I shouldn't.
You can't escalate that high, because otherwise you're, then we're at the fats in the fire, and it'll appear as if Pew is a people, a person that torpedoed it.
I agree.
Yeah. And incidentally, on the other side, there need be no concern about the political effect. We just can't think in terms of the fact, well, gee, would it be better not to have this politically? Sure, it's risky. We don't need it. We're going to win without it, and very heavily. But the point is that you've got to take a risk to get the damn war over. And if this is the best settlement we can get, which I think it is, and if this is the best time when the forces will be the strongest to get it, then the thing to do is to push it and get it. That's my attitude.
Right.
You see?
Right.
We're in that situation where we've just got it. So what it really comes down to, Henry, is the merit of the settlement. If it's the right settlement and this is the best time, do it now. If it's the right settlement and we should do it at a later time, put it off later. As far as the election is concerned, don't be bothered with it either way. There's only one thing on the election, as I say, and it would not be fatal. And that would be to have either Q or the North Vietnamese to blow it.
Of course, if one risk we run is, one point that Mel made to me was, when I went into all the refinements we were getting, he said, listen, you have to face one thing. If they offer us this deal publicly,
yeah,
we'll be forced to accept it without refinements.
I agree that. That's why I mean, I'm not sure how far you can really insist on the refinements. So you do the best you can. We know that, just like you did in Shanghai.
Now, from a security point of view, Mr. President, there's absolutely no question that we'd be better off 6 weeks from now when, if these guys in Third Corps ever would get off their asses.
They aren't going to.
But it's a high-risk thing, because 6 weeks from now, the other side may feel that they can hold us up that string us along the way they've done for 3 years.
That's right.
In the negotiations.
That's right. That's right.
And as you said, there is a time for settling.
Always. Always.
It is, if Q, the horrible tragedy is that if General Tree had survived last year, we would be throwing our hats up in the air, because then the situation in every military region, it is excellent.
Right.
And in three, it should be good. There are two divisions that I bet have lost 100 men in the whole offensive that have never fought and that have never moved off their dubs.
Right. Right.
That's what breaks your heart, isn't it?
Sure does. Well, in any event.
You can't be sure that they'd be moving off their behinds in the next 6 weeks.
And also, you're not too sure what the North Vietnamese can do. No, look, the main factor is that they, from everything I can see and from what you have said, the North Vietnamese are under great, great pressures to settle to.
Now, what I'm doing this morning, Mr. President, in the interest of speed, I've asked Sabrina to come in.
Yeah.
And I'm giving him a letter from you to Brezhnev.
Right.
Saying that if we could get some assurances about the cutoff of military aid.
Right.
I mean, not cutoff, but restraint.
Like, refraining like we do, basically.
That's right.
Same restraints.
Then we would be in a good position to...
Very good.
To speed up the settlement.
Right. Right.
It was very interesting. I told you this. He came in yesterday and read me the cable that he had had from the North Vietnamese, where we stood in the negotiation.
Yeah.
And it was pretty accurate, except that Liebass has put in some things that it's still unsettled that are already settled.
Yeah.
So that they can claim some victory after.
Sure, sure. That's always the case in settlements, but it's irrelevant. Once you settle, people have to heave a sigh of relief in the end, believe me. Sigh of relief. The damn thing's got to be brought to an end, Henry.
Well, I...
That's what we really come down to, and so I know that, all these political considerations, you just don't think of those. Except for the one point at saying not to think about it, don't let political considerations delay it. The only thing is, remember that the main, that we have no... pressures to push it. Either way, we have no pressures to make a settlement, and so you do it on the merits, which is a pretty good position for you to be in.
Absolutely.
You do it on the merits. And the other point is that the one hooker, of course, is that we cannot have a collapse in South Vietnam prior to the election. That would be helpful.
That would
be harmful. I don't think it would, do you? I mean, Pew isn't going to blow it that high, would he?
No, if he blows it, I've got to come back. I don't
think
we should push it to a confrontation with him now.
Where would you come to then?
Then I'll get Lee Duck Tho back to Paris, have one more meeting with him, and tell him they'll move on it after the election.
Yeah.
It's an unsatisfactory way of doing it because then they'll sit in their turn, don't they?
Yeah. See, there, you do run the risk, too, that they might decide to go public. And say Two is at fault. However, that's dangerous for them too, because even with that, we're not going to lose. Okay.
Well, it's one other thing I told Bob this morning that would be a possible compromise that might have to be done. You know, Two is absolutely adamant, or if he wants to save his face and wants to be able to pretend he had some role, I might have to come back from there. And then start the whole circuit again, meet once more with the North Vietnamese
right.
in Paris so that we can
right.
pretend his changes were taken into account.
Right.
Go to Saigon.
Right.
And
then to Hanoi.
And then to Hanoi. And that would make,
right.
that would delay the thing
a week.
By 6 days.
Yeah.
No, 6 days.
Yeah. That'd be no problem. That has some advantages, but on the other hand, you just do whatever. If you make the deal, do it now. If you can't, do the next best thing.
Right.
And it's going to be tough, Teddy.
Politically, it'd be better for you to do the later.
Henry, don't even think of the politics. Let me say, either has an advantage.
Right.
Doing a little earlier doesn't, either way. Politically, it would have an advantage and only in the sense of the merits, because between October 1st and November the 7th, there isn't so much time for it to blow.
Right.
That's the only point that I see there, but that's on the merits again.
Right.
So just do it on the merits. Everything's on the merits.
Right.
The hell with politics.
If I can have that flexibility, that
I understand.
I might go on that round, on that circuit again.
Right, right. I understand that.
But
you should have that flexibility, and just keeping it all in terms of just discussing the matter.
Right.
But I think I really feel that we just got to push this now for all it's worth, and make it if we can.
Right.
Good deal. All right. Good luck.